The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of that first day of the week, while the doors were locked where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and he stood in their midst. And he said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. His disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father hath sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven. And whose sins you retain, they are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger into the mark of the nails, put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them now. Jesus came, and although the doors were locked, he stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Bring your hand and place it in my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." But Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, signs which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and through this belief, you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Somebody asked me after the last Mass, "How come we keep moving Easter around? We don't have it set like Christmas. Christmas is set for December 25th. How come we don't have Easter on the same day every year?" Well, in the year 325, the Council of Nicaea decreed that Easter Sunday would be the first Sunday after the Passover. And as you know, the Passover finished yesterday. Passover is a lunar feast. It's governed by the spring equinox, the vernal equinox. And that's what determines the 15th day of the month of Nisan in the calendar of the Hebrew tradition. So it's moved, but not a lot. It's not moved out of the springtime. But in any case, it's set based on the time of the Passover. It's a good thing for us to keep in mind in that tragedy in Poway yesterday. It was the last day of the Passover for the Jewish people, and you had that devastating attack on the people in the temple at Poway. We'll pray for them later. This reading which we have today about the disciples in the upper room and Thomas not being with them is found only in the Gospel of John. No place else, even though it looks like it's very important in John's Gospel, not mentioned anywhere else. So one or two background, little important points. Every point is important when you begin to read the Gospels, especially in the Gospel of John, because John has second and third level meanings, not the obvious, literal first impression. It was the first day of the week, which is Sunday. For us, it's the Lord's Day. We celebrate our Sabbath on Sunday because the Jewish people celebrate theirs on Saturday. And all the first followers of Jesus were all Jewish. And so, devout Jews that they were, they celebrated the Shabbat on Saturday. And when the sun went down, then they got together and celebrated the Eucharist. That's how we ended up on Sunday. Now, theologically, it was confirmed later because Jesus rose from the dead on the first day of the week. But in its origin, it was set because the Jewish Sabbath finished at sundown on Saturday, and then they went to celebrate the Eucharist. And that's what you have in this reading today from John chapter 20. On the eve of the first day of the week, Saturday night, they gathered to celebrate the Eucharist. They were in an upper room, but they were fearful, so the doors were locked. Thomas wasn't with them. We'll get to Thomas in a moment, but Thomas missed Mass that Sunday. He was there the next week on Sunday, but he missed that Sunday. So the first day of the week, and they were gathered in an upper room, and the doors were locked for fear of the Jews. But John wants us to see how powerful the risen Jesus is. He comes through locked doors and walls, but Jesus comes to his disciples. Now, this is the early church. This little embryonic gathering is the beginning of the church, and the church is gathering to celebrate the Eucharist. But they're suspicious, and they're not sure that Jesus rose from the dead, so Jesus comes and appears to them. What's interesting about this is, when he appears, the manner in which he will convince them is to show them his wounds. Now, that's interesting. He might have showed them a powerful miracle, something extraordinary, but he said, no, my credibility will be confirmed by showing you my wounds. The wounds become very important in the revelation of the risen Jesus. They saw his wounds and they said, it is the Lord. So a week later, when Thomas is with them, Jesus appears again, and because they have seen his wounds, they say, we have seen the Lord. But Thomas doesn't believe. Now, Thomas doesn't have had trouble with Jesus. Thomas has trouble with the church. He has trouble with the credibility of the church. Even though they said, we have seen the Lord, he said, I know, that's your witness, but I don't believe it. A credibility crisis in the early church, a division, a broken church right from the beginning. But then a week later, it says they were gathered again in the upper room and the doors were closed. They were still fearful. And Jesus comes again. The Lord comes to them. Stand still, and the Lord will come to you. You know, we run around looking for Jesus. Hey, just stop. Take a look. Look inside. Look around. The Lord will come to you. So Jesus comes to them. And then he calls Thomas. See the mark of the nails in my hands. Touch my wounds. Put your hand in my side. Touch the wound I have in my side. That will convince you. Not a great miracle, but the wounds will convince you that I am risen from the dead. And Thomas makes this great profession of faith, my Lord and my God. His crisis was not with Jesus. His crisis was with the church, the credibility of the church. Thomas, of course, is called Didymus, which means twin. Therefore, he has a twin. Now, who is the twin of Thomas? I am Thomas's twin. And you are Thomas's twin. And we have questions about the church. We have questions about the credibility of the church because we are Thomas. See, I don't see him as a doubting person. I see him as a seeker. And when I was young growing up, if you question the church, it means your faith was weak. Now we say, if you have the courage to question the church, your faith is strong. It's strong enough, it's secure enough to challenge certain things in the church. What this wound, the showing the wounds, it's the triumph of the cross over the world. That's what Jesus is teaching. The wounds, not the power of the world, but the power of the Spirit. The triumph for forgiveness over judgment. The triumph of humility over pride. Of nonviolence over violence. The triumph of truth over lies. The triumph of integrity over deceit. The triumph of love over indifference. And we're called to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus in the power of the Spirit. And I know we look at the institutional church and say, there are certain things that are not credible. I do, you do, we're all Thomas. We're all seekers, we're all question. We have questions. But what the call of the Spirit in this event is to look at ourselves and to discuss our credibility. Peace over violence. In my family, forgiveness over judgment. In our church, hospitality over division. The triumph, the extraordinary sense of freedom, freedom from anger, freedom from jealousy. I had this extraordinary freedom in the triumph of the Spirit. And while we will make judgments about institution, the call of the Word of God is to look at ourselves. The triumph of charity and generosity over selfishness. The arrogance of certainty. Wow, we're all so certain about everything. You talk about politics today and you will divide the whole family. Everybody is so arrogant about their belief. I mean, if you think this way, there's something wrong with your brain. And you think over here, there's something wrong with something else. If somebody belongs to another church, we say, I'm not sure they're going to be saved. I mean, we have people like that to think in the name of the risen Jesus Christ. And look at the power of the Spirit calling us. I mean, go forth from here and live in the Spirit, the power of the resurrected Jesus. Forgive somebody. Heal somebody, bless somebody, give life to somebody. That's what this means. And now, what's interesting about this is, if you really read on the Gospel of John, this is chapter 20. And now Jesus appears twice, once without Thomas and once with Thomas, and they say, we have seen the Lord. Are they converted? No, they're not converted. They look like they're converted. But if you read chapter 21, which is the last chapter in John's Gospel, you'll find out that Peter and a group of seven, including Thomas, the twin, gave up on Jesus. And they said, well, I know we saw the Lord, but we don't believe it, you know. So they go fishing. Marvelous, beautiful story here in chapter 21 of John. And they say, okay, we better go back to what we were doing before Jesus came. So what do? They go back fishing. And then they have what John calls the third appearance of Jesus, the resurrected Lord. And Peter goes through this great conversion in chapter 21. So what do we draw from this gospel? I swear, I mean, either as a community of faith making up Holy Family, if we don't witness the triumph of hospitality over division, of kindness over judgment, of generosity over selfishness, if we don't witness that, there's something really radically wrong in our community. If we can decide there isn't room for one person in this community, we're offending the power of the Spirit in the risen Jesus. If there's somebody in your family that is in need of forgiveness, and I have withheld that forgiveness, we haven't listened to the Word of God. If there's a different opinion that I think is crazy, but I don't have the patience to listen to it. You don't have to agree, but to listen. Somebody misled us way back somewhere and said dialogue in your family or around your tables is an instrument to resolve differences. Dialogue has never been an instrument to resolve differences. Dialogue is an instrument to allow differences. If I'm really in dialogue with you, I will allow you the dignity of who you are. It's amazing. So listen to the Word of God. The risen Jesus calls us to experience a new life, a place of joy, of celebration, of freedom. I mean, if we could get to a place in our lives where, say, I don't have any enemies, anyone I have forgiven, anyone I've offended, I'll ask for forgiveness. I'll have the humility to ask for forgiveness. I don't have to be right. I will have the generosity to forgive anyone who offended me. Now, we are living the triumph of the cross. Marvelous. Amen.